This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It's hour three, rolling along on a Tuesday. Glad you can be with us. Steve Ashburn is going to join us, NBA.com, and we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs. So here's basically how it works tonight. The Lakers are taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. The winner gets Memphis. Before that, the Atlanta Hawks and the Miami Heat go at it. The winner gets the Boston Celtics. As for the Denver Nuggets and the Milwaukee Bucks, those are the top seeds. Well, they got to wait till Friday because that's when the eight seeds will be playing. How that's going to work is tomorrow there'll be two more play-in games. This is between the teams that are seeded 9th and 10th. So you've got in one game, you've got Oklahoma City against New Orleans. The other game, you've got Chicago and Toronto. The loser of that game is out. Bye-bye, go home. Thanks for playing. You get to go to the lottery. And then the other team, the winner of that game, will play the loser of games tonight. So let's say the Lakers win in advance. Minnesota would then go home and wait to play the winner of the Oklahoma City-New Orleans game from Wednesday. That game will be on Friday. The winner of that game will then advance to play the Denver Nuggets in round one. Milwaukee would get the same thing in the Eastern Conference. So that's how the play-in tournament works. The Lakers are playing really good basketball right now, but they're a 7 seed, and they're fighting to keep the 7 seed against a Minnesota Timberwolves team that's going to come in pretty shorthanded. Rudy Gobert has been suspended. Nevertheless, are the Lakers good enough to make noise in a very deep Western Conference? When you look at the West, this has been the case for many years, is that it's so loaded with teams, and there seems to be a sense of parity. It's amazing that Golden State, to be honest with you, have built themselves kind of a nice little dynasty from about 2015 on. Memphis has played them tough last year. Denver has been a team that's been budding with this megastar in Jokic. Finally got some pieces around them, won 53 games this past season. The Clippers have been playing without Paul George, but nevertheless, when is it going to come together for Steve Ballmer's club that has been trying to make a name for themselves in a city that has been dominated by the good and the bad of the Lakers, right? Then you've got Golden State, the defending champions, coming off their win last June against Boston, going into this season and playing basically 500 basketball with only 11 wins on the road. And then there's Phoenix. Now, is Phoenix a team that's under tremendous pressure after they got Kevin Durant? Well, not really. They haven't had Durant for a while. I mean, he came in, he got hurt, his home debut, he slipped on the floor. But nevertheless, they do have him now. And they went 7-3 in their last 10 games. There's a 4 seed that could win the whole thing. Then there's Sacramento, this young team led by Darren Fox that can score and score a lot. They're averaging over 120 points per game. That is the best in the Western Conference. That's the team that you're going to have to kind of go running with. In fact, I think they lead the NBA in scoring at nearly 121 points per game. That's what they do. So the West is just loaded. And tonight, the Lakers have a chance to sort of be in that conversation too. Again, 8-2 over their last, they've won 9 of their last 11, right? With one of the losses coming to the Clippers. But the Lakers are a team that's healthy now. We haven't been able to say that a lot this season. They haven't been healthy. But now you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James playing the roles that they're designed to play. And how much of a threat are they going to be to a team like Memphis if they should win tonight and get the 7 seed and play the Grizzlies? Now, I like the Grizzlies, but I would be nervous if I was a Memphis fan about a Lakers team that's going to get a 7-game series playing as well as they are right now. So that's how deep it is, that if you just go the top 6 in the Western Conference, that doesn't include anybody playing tonight or tomorrow, just the top 6, you've got a 2-time MVP in Jokic. You got a Grizzlies team led by Ja Morant, who gave Golden State all sorts of fits last year before Morant got hurt. Sacramento averaging 121 points per game. Phoenix has got Kevin Durant plus DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul. You've got the Clippers that, again, without Paul George in the first round, still have Kawhi Leonard, the team that's got Tyronn Lue as their head coach. And, man, they are just ready to pop, and then Golden State, the defending champs, that know how to do this when it comes to the playoffs. Klay Thompson said no one is going to beat us in a seven-game series if we're healthy. And he might be right. He might be right. But then they're the Lakers. And if there was one thing that you can point to on their inconsistency in 2022-2023 has been their health. Right? LeBron's out. Anthony Davis is out. Russell Westbrook was bad. Now he's gone. Right? There's a whole bunch of reasons why the Lakers weren't playing particularly well. But it's not how you played. It's how you're playing. The problem is, and this is the problem, you could be red hot, but you still are a victim of where you were seated. And that's where the Lakers may have some trouble. Right? It doesn't matter if you're playing really good basketball. The fact of the matter is, Memphis might be a little nervous in how they're going to handle Davis and James, especially James in the postseason. But the reality of it is that series starts in Memphis, and they have home court advantage. So you're going to have to win a game there. And the NBA home court in the playoffs is a very, very big deal. This is so much fun to dissect. It really is. This is a seven-sided dice in Dungeons & Dragons. Just roll it, whatever pops up. I'm not giving a lot of credit who comes out of the eight. I'm sorry, I'm just not. But I think it's seven deep in terms of who can pop here. Now, I think I would like other teams better than others. You know, I don't think it's an even percentage across the board. I think the Lakers' run to an NBA Finals could be a little daunting. But would anybody be surprised if Golden State was playing for the NBA championship again? Would you? Right? Phoenix out of the four spot with Kevin Durant? Certainly anybody in the top three. The Clippers, if they get Paul George back in round two, yeah. You could see, like, there's so many different ways to dissect this and to analyze this. It's going to be really fun. So those of you who are on the East Coast and those of you who are in the Central Time Zone, if you really love basketball, unfortunately, I'm about to tell you, you're going to be staying up late a lot of these nights, right? You're going to be staying up late for a lot of these games that are going to be on weekdays because they're going to be really intriguing. But I'm not going to give you anything really that intriguing in the East. I'm just not. It's just not going to happen. I don't know who is going to be coming out of the Miami Heat-Atlanta Hawks game. They're about equal. And, you know, the couple games separate them in the standings, really. But, I like the Heat at home over Atlanta. But Atlanta's got Trae Young, and you never know. But whoever's going to win that, who's ever going to get that series is going to get Boston. And whoever doesn't and has to play the Toronto-Chicago, the winner of that, when that all sorts itself out, is going to get Milwaukee and Giannis. Right? Cleveland is getting the Knicks, and Brooklyn's getting Philadelphia. Does any of those matchups sound really intriguing in the first round? Did any of those matchups pop at all? Any of them? Because they don't. They don't. You might go Cleveland-Knicks. The Knicks are playing really good basketball, but Cleveland's playing a little better.
But that's the problem we've been saying with the East all along.
That's right. That's right. It's very top-heavy. It's extremely top-heavy. Right now, as much as I like Philly, I like Joel Embiid. He's going to be the MVP. He averaged over 33 points a game this season. And combined with Tyrese Maxey and James Harden, it's a good basketball team. I can't see them getting by Boston or Milwaukee. I think it's Boston or Milwaukee winning the conference.
But at the same time, it's, you know, hey, wake me up next week.
Right.
Or wake me
at
up
least
in 2 weeks
me
when
two.
Those
get me around.
Yeah,
two.
When those series start, wake me up because you know? The first round series they're laughable.
Because here's the thing on the bottom end of it, if they pull off an upset, it really is like that's one of the reasons I said earlier in the show today the five game opening round series was always intriguing because you could sneak on a team,
right?
You could bite them. We see it in baseball all the time. Right when they have those opening series be five games, you could see it all the time where a team would go, you know what, we just got game one. You know, we got game one against the mighty Astros or the mighty Yankees, and look out, we got a little bit of control, and it's not going to take much to finish this. In basketball, you saw Dikembe Mutombo when he was gripping the basketball, and he was so happy that they beat Seattle. That was a five-game series back then. But a seven-game series, I just can't imagine that if you're one of these teams that is playing today and tomorrow, that you're going to put together a game plan to beat Milwaukee four times in seven games. He's just not going to do it. You're not going to beat Giannis and Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez. You're not going to beat any of those guys in four games out of seven. I'm sorry. And the Celtics as well. You're not going to beat them either. Like, it's going to be really tough. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's not a lot those teams have
that can really bite those teams up. Now, again, injuries can play. Giannis could twist an ankle. I mean, and it changes the whole dynamic of the series. You know, that those are things that are always in play. But if I were to wave a magic wand and guarantee health for everybody in the first round of the playoffs, no one's beating Milwaukee or Boston. No one. And yeah, maybe the Knicks and the Cavaliers are fun series, but isn't that supposed to be because it's a 4-5 matchup? If I've got to go all the way down to the middle matchup to get the best, the more intriguing series. Now, you might say, well, isn't that the normally way it is? Yeah, but look at the West, right? Look at the West. Golden State is playing Sacramento, right? That's a 3-6. Do you think that's a 3-6 in the playoffs? Golden State, the defending champions? That's not a 3-6. I'd be shaking in my boots if I was a Kings fan. Are you kidding me?
No,
I just worked my tail off to get a 3 seed, and I got to get the healthy defending champions who know how to play playoff basketball.
And now healthy. That's the important thing.
Exactly.
I mean, their 6 is because it's been a rough season for them.
And when they get Andrew Wiggins back, it's going to be even worse. Are you kidding me? That's what I'm getting. And I'm telling you right now, I know some of you might, oh yeah, you've heard nothing but doom and gloom about the Lakers for close to 82 games this season. So if you're casually paying attention to the NBA, I get it. I absolutely get it. This team has been in turmoil. They were outside the playoffs. They might not even make it. LeBron's trying to carry them. Anthony Davis is hurt. Now LeBron is hurt. Ah, blah, blah. Russell Westbrook's making a mess. They've cleaned all that up. They're healthy. Westbrook's now a Clipper. They're playing team basketball. If you're Memphis, you might be a Memphis fan going, I ain't afraid of the Lakers. You kind of should be. They've won 9 of their last 11, and LeBron knows how to play playoff basketball. That's a difference. There is a pace to how to get through these postseason. These guys are masters of it.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. Steve Ashburner is going to join us, NBA.com. We'll talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs coming up. So I saw a good movie yesterday on Netflix. Not really a great movie, but it was actually well acted.
All right.
It was called, starred Jake Gyllenhaal. And it was called Guilty. And it was one of those movies that was really wild because in the beginning of the movie, they show a bunch of actors' names. There was like Ethan Hawke was in it. A girl I recognized from other things, but I can't remember her name. But like she was kind of a name I went, oh, yeah, I know her. And you go, oh, okay, all right, I'll just settle in and watch this. It's pretty good. This looks all right. And all it is, the movie is Jake Gyllenhaal is playing a dispatcher at the LAPD. And the other actors that are in it are voices, phone calls that are coming in. And there's a story about a woman. She's abducted. He's trying to track her down. He's trying to find out her family. He finds out more and more. There's more layers to her story. And it's all done while he's on the phone. He never leaves. He leaves the from one desk to another, but he doesn't go outside. You don't see any like outside shots or anything like that. He doesn't leave the building. He doesn't go home. The next day doesn't come. It's all done on his shift. So the whole movie is him talking on the phone. The phone goes dead. He makes a call. He's trying to call somebody else. He calls another. Can you get to their house? Can you find them on the road? They're on the I-10. They're in a white van. He's just the stress. And he's also dealing with a personal problem, so he's got that hovering above his head. He's just like, his brain is just fried from all of these things. And actually, it was pretty good. It was one of those, it was really, really well acted. Jake Gyllenhaal was good in it. I don't know how you feel about him as an actor, but he was pretty good in this. It was almost like, it reminded me of a one-man Broadway show, but you have voices coming at you. Like, you're on stage, and you're acting out a bunch of parts and different scenes. That's kind of the way it was. It was really good. It was really good. So I don't know. Sometimes I just find a thing and I go, what do I want to watch? Click, 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 click. Oh, I got it. Yeah. Let's go do that. So, but that's pretty much. I'm caught up with everything that I want to be caught up with on my streaming. Caught up on Ted Lasso. I finished a bunch of other series, and then I watched the Waco documentary on Netflix that came out. I don't know. There's nothing else.
I need a new show.
I do. I need a new show. Somebody wants to give me a new show on Twitter, please do so at Tony D Radio. I'll take your requests for me to watch a new show.
Well, since my boys all had yesterday off from school. Yep. They decided to give.
Post Easter.
Just gave them a four day weekend. No, it wasn't spring break. Yeah, it was just 4 day weekend.
I never got a 4 day weekend.
Yeah, neither
did I.
I didn't
even get Good Friday off when I was a kid.
Neither did I.
I absolutely remember going to school just before Easter.
But we ended up going to the movies yesterday.
What'd you see? Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, that's not out yet. That would have been top choice.
Mario Brothers?
We went and saw Mario Brothers.
Was that good?
I actually enjoyed it.
I heard it's good.
It's good. It's funny.
It's a good kids movie.
Obviously the kids like it. My 6 year old was in love with it. It's the greatest movie ever to ever have come out by now. You know, he'll change his mind about 30,000 more times.
Sure.
But it was enjoyable for me too. That's what I liked about it. It was, you know, sit back and, you know, there's just funny little nuances, especially if you grew up playing the games. Like, not just Mario, but, you know, all the games, because Donkey Kong's in it, and there's little subtleties to all the nostalgic games that we grew up playing.
Oh, nice.
It was kind of fun.
I loved Donkey Kong in the arcades. I loved it. And when I was a kid, I had an Atari 2600, and the Donkey Kong for the Atari 2600 was the same scene over and over again, but faster barrels.
Yeah.
And it was the only place I could go to get, like, the elevator and the other really cool scenes was to either go to my friend Neil's house, who had a ColecoVision, mm-hmm. or go to an arcade.
Right? One thing I liked about this movie was, and you would, if you see it, you'll like it too, is all the music nods.
Oh, nice.
It's all the, you know, different ways that they worked Mario music, Donkey Kong music, all the variations of Mario that have been out there, all the different music tracks they worked in there, but changed it up just a little bit so that you could still hear it, but it was, you know, set to the mood of the whatever scene was going on.
That reminds me. That's a really good way to put that. What's missing from youth? That noise of an arcade.
Yeah.
When you walked in the door of an arcade,
God, it just
general
be, it was
noise
magical.
That came out. It was like, I'm going to get really hyper. I'm going to get like very Hallmarky here. It was like a cacophony of flavors that kind of sweep in when you enter like a pastry shop or something. Like when you go into a place, you smell all the different flavors. Like to walk into an arcade and hear waka 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 or boo doo 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 beep 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 beep, and you hear all of it come together. It's like a cacophony of noise that just comes together and just fills your senses. Like you could tell, close your eyes. If you were an arcade expert, close your eyes and hear the noise, and you would go, Donkey Kong is to my left, Pac-Man is over here somewhere close, on my right, straight ahead is Spy Hunter. I think I hear a little Tron, Q-Bert maybe over there, a little Burger Time. Mm-hmm. Paperboy was over here. What was the one with the root beer? Tapper.
Yep.
Remember that game? Frogger is over on this side. Centipede.
God, I could play Frogger forever.
Frogger was fantastic. It's a simplistic game.
Yeah.
Just take the frog across the road and on the swamp.
Yep.
Jump on the things.
Jump
eat
on
some
the
flies.
Log. Make sure not to jump on an alligator's back. Don't
That's
get hit
it.
By a car or a truck.
That's all you got to do.
Especially that one that's speeding. Got to have the timing. You know, sometimes, and sometimes you had to go backwards to go forward.
That's right.
Sorry, kids. You had to know that.
You'd be on lane two, and a car would be coming, but you can't go into lane three because there's cars ahead.
Yep.
So you have to go backwards where it was safer, and then you move over a little bit and then try it again. Yeah,
it was just fun. I mean, yesterday, my wife and I, my kids, all of us were going around after seeing the Mario movie. I had this song, this beat stuck in my head. It was do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, yeah,
you know, like
right,
when Mario's
yeah.
about to die or he's in a... He's like at the end level. It was just over and over in my head. I'm like, God, I'm going to just be dreaming about this tonight.
Exactly.
But it is. I recommend it. It's a fun movie.
It's a good movie. I haven't found a movie that I've wanted to go see in quite a while. I think I'll go see this Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, movie. I think I got to pull that trigger too.
But there hasn't been something that made me go, like even Air. I kind of want to see Air. But I just go, I'll just wait.
That's a Netflix.
That's a Netflix thing. I'll wait for that thing to come on streaming, and I'll get it when it streams.
Well, you missed your chance last year, and I'm still disappointed in you.
Top Gun Maverick?
Top Gun Maverick.
Haven't even seen it when I can rent it.
Gun Maverick was probably the movie to see in a movie theater.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm hoping. Like, for me, it's like I look at movies nowadays. Guardians of the Galaxy, that's something that's like, okay, that is movie theater worthy.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, Air. I want to sit and just, I want to dissect it. I don't think I want to pay, you know, $20 just to go see that one.
Exactly.
I want to sit at home and see it. And I'm interested in it.
On Twitter, we grew up, those arcades turned into casinos. Yeah, good point. Yeah, now we get the cacophony of flavor at a casino. You walk into a casino and it's bing, 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 bing.
Flashing lights.
Exactly. Lights, the noise. The maybe the craps table is hot. Yeah, I know exactly.
Little
what that
cheer
is.
Every once in a while, a cheer from some section. Hey. You can't even hear it. You know, you hear it, but you don't even know where it is. It's like, where was
cocktails,
that? Where is that?
Cocktails, cocktails, cocktails. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but the arcade, man, it was so special. It was so great. It's just a generational thing. It can't be replicated. It's just not the same.
No, in fact,
have,
I mean,
same, it doesn't. That's not where the business is. The business isn't in stand-up cabinets that play these games. Like seriously, they sell those. They sell these cabinet games now. Like at your electronics store, you can buy a Centipede game. Anthony Pepe's got a bunch of them in his studio.
Yep.
Like that market is to guys like us. That they're not being sold to young kids. Young kids don't want a $500. You know, dot matrix game of eating pellets and chasing
ghosts.
No, they don't want that. Are you kidding? Like I said, I took my kids to one of those arcades before. They thought it was silly. Like they thought I was like, no, it's not. It's great. They're like, no, it isn't. You know what I do in my video games? I'm attacking dragons and trolls and flying through the air in an open world RPG. Like what are you doing? You're just delivering papers? You're crawling over a burger and avoiding a salt and pepper shaker? What's wrong with that? What is this? Exactly. But nevertheless, nostalgia sells. That's why it works. That's why it works. So I'm glad Mario. I kept hearing people say it's a fun time at the movies.
It is. I mean, you can't get too serious. You know, one thing that they're joking about is that because Jack Black has an original song in there. That people are, I've seen it pop up on Twitter. It's like, it's eligible for the Oscar. And I'm like, you know what? I would love for it to be nominated.
If Jack Black's song.
Just to have him perform it on stage.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
That's the
All
only
right.
thing.
We'll talk NBA playoffs coming up next. Again, the play-in tournaments are tonight. Steve Ashburner will join us next from NBA.com. So we go over those games and the other matchups that are going to happen this weekend as round one gets underway. Continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so as we mentioned, the play-in games will be tonight. There's two, and then there's two on Wednesday. Tonight will determine the seven seeds, so the winners of the games tonight will advance to the first round. And then the losers of tonight will play the winners of tomorrow night's game on Friday. They'll determine the eight seed. And then off we go into the NBA playoffs, round one starting this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. Steve Ashburner joining us, NBA.com, to go over some of the matchups. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. On our Progressive guest line, drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. And see them for a quote at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Let's start with the West. And something we've been kind of buzzing about since we started looking at the road towards the postseason is how deep these playoffs are. It starts tonight with a Laker team that has won 9 of their last 11 facing Minnesota. But how deep is the Western Conference in your view?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know what I can add to that observation from the standpoint that it basically gives, a lot of cities, a lot of fans hope. I think it makes for some early playoff bracket viewing. That to me is the biggest appeal of the play-in tournament, frankly, is that it gives us this one-and-done or two-and-done urgency right before we get to, you know, some traditionally mismatched best of seven series. When you've got 1-8 or 2-7, you know, that often is a sweep or a gentleman's sweep, and we have to wait at least till the second round. to get, you know, competitive balance and to get rid of, you know, now you can focus on a 4-5 series. That's fine. You know, 3-6 sometimes. But I think that this year with the way the West has gone and, you know, even the East less so, I think, as the season played out. But, you know, the West, I mean, they're certainly the Lakers are capable of advancing, you know, pretty far based on a play-in berth. And, you know, I think that Oklahoma City is an intriguing team to watch. Minnesota right now is a soap opera if you want to, you know, look at them. And then when you get the Golden State Warriors, is, you know, they're playing Sacramento, and you might have, you know, that would have been news if it was 3-6 with the Warriors at 3 and the Kings at 6, just sure. Because the Kings, you know, are not known as a playoff team. But for Golden State to be playing up from number 6, yeah, I think it's intriguing, and it's intriguing early. And that, to me, is the best thing for the playoffs, is to lock people into, you know, the habit of watching these games.
A lot of teams that have these sort of seasons where it's been up and down, maybe not as spectacular, you can look back and find injuries here or there. But there's also some other layers. What has been Golden State's story? Is it just, hey, look, in the end, we have regular season fatigue, but we also don't play very well on the road? What has been their story this season?
Yeah, it's, you know, the road issue to me is almost inexplicable. I mean, you know, why a team with a veteran core would travel so badly. And, you know, is that where concentration starts to waver? Is it, you know, is that the glimpse of their window closing by their inability to take care of business, you know, away from their own arena? I don't know. I mean, Steph Curry was out. He had injury situations, you know, up and down season. I think Golden State went about it in a funny way, but they did what a lot of proven teams have done, is, you know, you look for a way to manage the regular season.
Yeah.
There's not the urgency to, you know, to show everything. I felt Denver, you know, sort of had the obligation to have a great regular season now, finally, with Jokic, you know, winning the MVPs in the past, but not really being that impressive once you got past game 82. So, you know, they're at the opposite end. But I think Golden State, you know, maybe it was just a notion of, yeah, we got the pedigree. We do want to be there. We know what it takes, you know, based on last spring particularly, what they needed to do to win yet another championship. And they kind of meandered to this one, to this start of the playoffs anyway. But, frankly, they got in under the wire. They nailed a legit playoff berth. They don't have to mess with the play-in tournament. And, you know, they're healthy, are getting healthy at the right time. So, you know, I think that they're, you know, that's a handful for the Kings. I mean, it's a Northern California series. The Warriors are elated. They don't have to do any serious travel for the first round. And, you know, for the Kings that are, you know, that's a team in need of playoff experience and seasoning. They're going to get a whole bunch of that really quick against the Warriors.
Let's talk about the Nuggets. This is a team, as you mentioned, with Nikola Jokic, and he's won the MVP twice, but he has had different pieces not being healthy enough around him. This season, they found the right sort of combination. But how strong do you see the Nuggets as a number one seed in a Western Conference that does go pretty deep?
You know, it's funny. The Nuggets had the best record in the West. They're the number one seed. And they'll still be able to, I think, claim a little bit of, you know, we're not respected kind of a thing. I mean, with all
point.
The focus on the Lakers' rise late and on what Phoenix, you know, seems capable of doing with Kevin Durant, I think people are probably, you know, taking the Nuggets a little lightly, you know, for the regular season that they had. So, you know, that's worked pretty well for them, I think, in the past when they've been able to muster that chip on their shoulder. So, you know, we'll see if this one goes a little bit further for them. I would like to, just for novelty's sake, you know, when you cover this stuff for a long time, you'd like to see new teams, you know, rise up. And, you know, and I get it. They're fans of their team, and that's that. But, you know, seeing Denver make it to the conference finals, for instance, which, you know, it was the bubble when they did it previously, you know, that would be pretty intriguing. I think that Michael Malone does a great job of finding that line between prodding and even criticizing his guys, but also, you know, keeping them tightly knit and focused and together in a good chemistry in Denver. So that to me is a lot. And Jokic, frankly, I mean, you know, I'm an MVP voter, and you know, one of the things that came up when you weighed ballots this year was, do you vote for him for a third straight MVP, even though he's yet to have any serious postseason success? Now, I know those are apples and oranges. Technically, the MVP is simply a regular season award, but it's not viewed that way when you talk legacies. When you talk about how many MVPs certain guys have, you do expect, you know, there to be some sort of correlation or at least some connection to rings. And so the idea of continuing to heap MVPs on Jokic when the Nuggets really haven't done much in springtime, you know, I think that probably gave some of us voters pause. And so, you know, now's the time for him to, you know, to address that sort of unchecked box.
On that situation, and I know you can't read the minds of everybody who votes, but do you get a sense that there are times that people look at an MVP vote, and we see it in the Heisman too, when there's a guy that's up for back-to-back Heismans, where you go, look, I'm not just voting. I'm actually putting this person on a different level. If we vote, if he wins again, that's three times. Does that factor into people's thoughts of, am I really ready to make this individual very, very unique in terms of the MVP voting?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think it all starts with the term valuable and the different meanings that people bring to that when they assess, you know, a player's contribution to his team, his place in the league hierarchy. You know, is he the best player in the league? Well, if not, is he, you know, essential to his team in a way that team would, you know, be seriously sideways if he weren't there? I mean, there's different ways that you look at that. I like it. I like that it's not simply you are compelled to vote for the best offensive player in the NBA based on certain thresholds of statistics, and, you know, let the computers decide it then. That's fine. The players had didn't they do an offensive player of the year or something like that? And, you know, it's like, okay, fine. You know, you can do that. But I like that it's a bit nebulous and, you know, it can vary. Even with the same voter, it can vary, you know, year to year. And I think that's legit. It makes for great discussion. And yet it does give you a sense over time, as you're indicating, you know, who the top players are. Look, when it comes to voting for Jokic, I mean, the ballots are all cast now. And whether people voted for him or not, I got to think that some segment of the electorate thought, well, let's see, Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, and Larry Bird are the only guys that have won three MVPs in a row. Michael Jordan didn't. LeBron James didn't. Is Nikola Jokic going to join that, you know, that select group, that Mount Rushmore of consecutive MVPs, you know, without any real playoff success? And is he head and shoulders above Joel Embiid and Giannis Antetokounmpo and other great players, Jason Tatum or whomever else you might have looked at for your ballot? So I think that factors in. I think, you know, when we look, we talk now, we say, well, wait a minute, Shaquille O'Neal, as great as he was, one MVP, what went wrong there? You know, Steve Nash had two. Well, in real time, you know, Steve Nash was doing some amazing things with that Phoenix Suns team. And I was a voter, and I voted for him the second year because he was better than the first year.
Steve, great stuff. Really appreciate it. Thank you a lot for that insight and conversation. Appreciate it. Steve Ashburner, NBA.com. And enjoy the playoffs, my friend. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You got it. We'll be back. It's a Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I think that's a perfect example, Steve Ashburner, of a guest saying something and me and just sparking another conversation.
Yeah.
We were just going over some teams, and when he talked about Jokic, when I just asked him about the Nuggets, give me your analysis of the Nuggets. And he just went off, because look, if you follow the Nuggets, you know that Jokic is a two-time MVP, and that, we no doubt about that. We all know that. But he's had players around him that have been hurt, in and out of the lineup. they've tried their best to try to put a consistent unit around him, and they haven't been able to do that. So it's been quick exits. There was one time in the bubble, they got to the conference finals against the Lakers, and they were down 3-1 in both of their series leading up to the conference finals against the Lakers. But other than that, they haven't done much in the playoffs. And a lot of it has to do with running into Golden State one year or whatnot. And it's been, well, we finally got this team healthy enough. We finally got this team gelling enough that Jokic can be, you know, can highlight his skill, but he's not alone. But he started talking about the MVP voting. What is the MVP? How, and he, as he mentioned, a lot of people talk about this. Every voter has a definition of value. But again, we see this in the Heisman all the time. There's not very many opportunities where a guy is a sophomore or junior, because we just recently started voting freshmen and sophomores as Heisman Trophy winners. Remember, for years, they never did it. For years, it was just a junior-senior award. And then it, you know, finally broke through with Tebow and then Jameis Winston and Johnny Manziel. And everybody, you started winning it at a younger age. But whenever there has been an opportunity for a player to win the Heisman and then come back and play again, if he plays well enough again and he's up for the award, there's always been a conversation of like, am I going to make this person the second person in the history of the Heisman Trophy to win it twice? It has nothing to do with just give me the stats on paper and compare it to everything this year. There's another layer that you have to ask yourself when you're talking about that player. That player may deserve your Heisman Trophy, but some people go, yeah, I just can't do it. I can't pull the trigger on this individual going down in history as one of the greatest college football players of all time when all of these other players never won it twice. This guy's going to be on the list, the very, very short list. It's like Mike Rozier and this guy. And it's the same thing like he just mentioned. If you're voting this year for the MVP, you may look at Jokic against Joel Embiid and maybe even Giannis or Luka, whoever is in the conversation, and you may love all of the triple-doubles that Jokic has gotten this year, and you may love all of the wins that the Denver Nuggets have compiled this year. But when like he was saying, are you going to pull the trigger in a vote that's going to help this guy who's got no playoff success? You're going to pull the trigger on a guy that's going to get this three straight years when Michael Jordan didn't do it and LeBron James didn't do it, right? Like those guys didn't win the MVP award three straight years. Some of the greats to have ever played the game did not win the MVP award for three straight years, and you're going to give it to him without the championship or the finals appearance? It plays a factor, and it's not supposed to. Right? It's not supposed to. It's not supposed to be an award that is given based on circumstances that go outside the year. Right? But unfortunately, that's exactly the way it is. Right? So, you know, if you're looking at, again, the history book of the NBA, and you say to yourself, wow, let's go fast forward 50 years, right? And somebody's looking through the history of the NBA and they just decide to stumble on the MVP award. And they're looking through the list and they see Wilt Chamberlain won it three times. And they see Bill Russell winning it three times. And they keep looking and they go, well, here's some other guys. Oh, nobody else did it. Oh, nobody else did it. Oh, nobody else did it. Oh, up, 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 up. Yeah, I heard LeBron was pretty good. He won 4 out of 5, but he didn't win it three times. And then it's Nikola Jokic. And then you click on it like, oh, I wonder how many championships he won, and the answer is zero? Like, you would go, wait a minute, hold on. Like, how did this happen? Right? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right? He didn't win it three times in a row. So it does weigh on you. You do wonder, am I really going to put this guy on a, like he said, a Mount Rushmore? And nobody's denying his greatness. That's not what we're saying. Like, he's an amazing basketball player. He's one of the top basketball players of his generation, without question. But there is something about doing something that the greats have not done. Right? The greatest ones have not been able to pull off. And that to me sort of does weigh in on the balloting and the voting. Right? I mean, how many is Kobe Bryant? Kobe Bryant hasn't won any. Has won one?
I think he got one. Got one, and it took forever to get that
right?
one.
Right? Exactly. I mean, that's... Yeah, when did Kobe win it? I got to look through it real
2000...
quick. Yeah, it was, say, 2012? Yeah, 2007, 2008. Yeah, you're right. And that's a long time. He already won three championships.
Yeah.
By then. Maybe another one? Was there another one before?
Won
that?
A ton of All-Star
right.
trophies. You know, I mean, now it's named after him because they have how many he won. But, I mean, yeah, he was... And he was, I mean, he was basically Jokic.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there was no one else really on his team. It was him doing all the work. Of course, that also worked against him because, you know, he became known as a ball hog.
And I hate to say it. I like the Nuggets. I like the Nuggets a lot. I don't think they're going to the finals.
Yeah. I don't.
I just don't. I am finding myself agreeing with a number of people in this business who have pointed out. So this is not an original thought by me. Who have pointed out that if I was betting top three or bottom three outside of the play-in tournament, meaning let's take the top six, okay? You know how you play that game, Tiger of the Field, right?
Right,
that old game. So if I was betting, would you take any team from the top three to win the West, or any of the bottom three from four through six to win the West? I'm leaning on the bottom three.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm leaning on Phoenix, or not necessarily Clippers. If they get Paul George back, but I'm looking at Golden State. I am looking at Golden State going, that's going to be the jack of the box. Bump, 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 bump.
Yep.
Look out. Don't want to play.
No, because you look at those top three, I'm not 100% sold. I mean, I'm definitely not sold in Sacramento. Forget it.
No chance. No,
you know,
I'm not,
hey, Sacramento, I'm glad you showed up.
Exactly. Sacramento is going to play a team. Here's the thing. They play boat race games, right? They play 121, 119, 125, yeah. 124. Those are the kind of games they play. And Golden State is like, we'll play those too. You want to do that? We'll do it too. Sure.
But yeah, let's
have some fun.
As much as you know what Jokic can do in Denver or what Ja Morant can do in Memphis, the other teams have a little bit more. And I don't know if we're looking at it with older eyes type of things.
We might be,
it's like, oh, you know, you still got Chris Paul, or with the Lakers, you got LeBron and Anthony Davis, and they're playing hot right now. You know, Golden State, you know, that's still that core nucleus. They have four titles. Come on.
Does that gelling, like Phoenix Suns, Kevin Durant, it's still a gelling, still a gelling situation?
I can't. I can see them winning the first series. I can't see them going all the way.
I do think there's
right?
a factor that's going to step up. I do think that there is a...
I think Phoenix Clippers, that's going to be a fun series, but I don't know if that mesh could sustain all the way to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I'm with
I'd
you.
Be shocked.
I'm with you. But right now, I'm handicapping it. Like, I'll take a 4, 5, or 6 team. I'm really looking
no,
at Golden State.
No, I agree with you.
I just keep thinking of Golden State, and I keep thinking of Golden State healthy, and I keep thinking, we're not just talking about a one-game thing. If you want to pop me one game in Sacramento, okay. But I'm talking about having the strategic ability to devise a game plan to beat a team 4 times in 7 games. And Sacramento does not have to win any game at the Chase Center because they have home court advantage. But they are if Golden State beats them in their place in Sacramento. And that, I just don't see it. That home record is phenomenal. Denver's got altitude, but Golden State loves playing at the Chase Center.
Yeah.
They love it. I
mean, let's be real. You know, look at the other matchup. Most likely to be a 2-7, right?
Right.
I mean, I kind of like the Lakers over the Grizzlies.
I do too.
And if anything, I mean, maybe it's not Lakers over Grizzlies, but I don't think it's a, you know, 4 games and we're done.
That's
5 games and we're done. I think it'll go the distance, which that's one of the things we keep saying all along, too, is that these teams are going to push you all the way to the limit. I think Golden State sweeps the Kings.
I would not be surprised if they do it all. Not at all. So like I said, if you live in the East or the Central time zone, brew the coffee because you could be watching some good basketball late at night on the Western Conference.
Ignore your conference. Your playoffs
Eastern
don't
conference,
start.
They'll let you know how it plays out. How about that? You know,
tune in next week
for it. The first round. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.